is CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor. Here's John Batchelor.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. I welcome Professor Evan Ellis, the Latin American Research Professor, the U.S. Army War College Strategic Studies Institute. We go to the breaking news, the headlines. We march to trouble in democracy. This is the Washington Post. Chile's lower house votes to impeach president over Pandora Papers allegations. First graph. Chile's lower house voted early Tuesday, 24 hours past, to impeach President Sebastián Piñera over allegations of corruption raised in the Pandora Papers investigation, the latest political fallout from the media reports on the offshore financial system. The investigation by the Washington Post and media partners led by the International Consortium of Investigative Journalists showed that a mining company owned in part by Piñera's children was sold for $152 million to a close friend of the president, Chilean businessman Carlos Delano. The sale was made in December 2010, 9 months into Piñera's first term as president. Evan, a very good day to you. This complicates an already complex story because Chile is imminently to the polls to choose the new president. And those players, Mr. Kast and Mr. Boric, are on either side of the center, center-right market, center-left Marxist philosophy. Sebastián Piñera is now impeached by the lower house. There's a cynic enough in me to say the impeachment looks to be a political event, but to whose advantage? And the Pandora Papers, what are these that they can be used in a political contest as profound as Chile's? Good day to you.
Good day to you, John. It's a pleasure to be on the show. As you mentioned, this touches on multiple different things. Number one, the Pandora's paper themselves, 11.9 million documents that were begun to be released in October. It's rippling throughout not just Chile, but throughout Latin America and the rest of the world. 35 world leaders, 400 officials from really around the world in 100 different countries. And so with respect to Chile specifically, and it's interesting, this impeachment of Sebastián Piñera, who is already tremendously unpopular, actually is the second major impact in the Chilean presidential dynamics, because the leading candidate who had been aligned with Piñera, who was previously Sebastián Sichel, a center-right candidate, was himself implicated and named in the Pandora's paper, and that actually caused his dramatic fall, really leading this to be a debate between a much more radical right-wing candidate, José Antonio Kast, and the very youthful left-wing candidate, Gabriel Boric. Now, it is, of course, political. This actually is the second time that they've tried to impeach President Piñera. The first time was, of course, in response to the October 2019 violence and the government's response to that. As you pointed out, he was voted, the articles of impeachment went forward in the House. And it was interesting, actually, where his President Piñera's Vamos coalition has 72 seats, and there were actually only 67 votes against the impeachment article. So actually five of his own members of his own coalition voted against him. But you see that there is a great deal of solidarity of his coalition against this. Now, when it gets to the Senate, they actually need 29 out of the 43, basically two-thirds of the Senate. And the general consensus is they're just not going to get that. However, what appears to be happening is that in order to avoid just taking a vote and getting it out of the way, it looks like they're going to try to postpone it up until maybe the day before the election to try to continue to, the left is trying to benefit from this perception of sleaze as much as possible to try to hurt the right as much as possible. But frankly, the right with the hit that's already been taken to Sebastián Sichel is already done. It's probably doubtful that Kast will be badly hurt by this because he's not affiliated so much with Piñera. And moreover, it's already highly likely that even if Kast wins in round one, that whoever goes to round two, the left will unite, and it'll probably be President Boric right now unless things change.
We come to the larger picture of Chile. I'm told that Chile was one of the success stories of South America for many decades. because it had a resource-based economy, an educated population, and worked very well with international mining companies, similar to other Andean chain countries. However, something awry in 2019, perhaps it started with Mr. Panera and questions about his conduct, but in 2019 there was rioting, there was burning, there was much protest in Santiago, and things have been off track ever since, to my reading. The rewrite of the Constitution, and now the eve of a socialist communist philosopher to be the new president. What is Chile's disruptive issue, theme, if there is one, and how does this affect the neighbors in South America?
It's a great question, John, and really the violence and the protests that took Chile largely by surprise in October 2019 really reflected tendencies that have been boiling for quite some time. You have to go back to the period of the military dictatorship of General Augusto Pinochet, which on the positive side was seen by many Chileans as really restoring stability and order to Chile, making it one of the best governed countries and one of the most secure countries in the hemisphere. Bringing in of neoclassical free market economic policies, the famous Chicago Boys was seen as really propelling Chile's economy to the head. But in the process, Chile's the legacy of Chile's transitional constitution, which locked in privileges for the military, some of the inequality within Chile. If you don't have a lot of money, Chile is a very expensive place to live, despite the fabulous wealth that its economy is generating. And so there was long a sense that the very prosperity and some of the unresolved issues was as Chile had an increasingly educated middle class, the students, others. Some of these became middle class issues that were protested, and so this really spilled over into the protests of October 2019 in the sense that a new constitution was needed. And so what's really happened is that Chile traditionally alternated between the center right and the center left. Michelle Bachelet was traditionally center left. Sebastián Piñera, twice elected, was center right. But what's really happened now is there's been a polarization or a radicalization. So, especially with the prior center right candidate that I mentioned, Sebastián Sichel, essentially being devastated by the Pandora's paper naming, now it's really gone between somebody who's much more on the social. Right, and that is Jose Antonio Kast and Gabriel Boric. Again, one of the very young student leaders. It was actually interesting. Boric himself, not only the fact that he's pro impeachment of Piñera, but the way that he said it, saying that you shouldn't have these rich people trying to benefit from things that hurt the environment. There's a very kind of youthful radicalism of Boric, and so it. This is something that is, one can find the roots, but it's taking a Chile, which has been a very successful nation, in a very worrisome direction.
The puzzle then, what happens in Chile? Does it stay in Chile, or is this influential in the neighborhood, Argentina and Brazil, the fact that it is imminently going hard left?
What's interesting, John, is that there have long been issues of inequality and frustration with corruption and in bad government performance. In the early 2000s, you had alternation. You had a center-leftist represented previously by people like Lula da Silva or Michelle Bachelet, and you had the more radical populist left represented by people like Hugo Chavez, initially Rafael Correa. But what's happened really in the past 2 to 3 years, especially supercharged by COVID-19 and enabled, frankly, by the power of Chinese money, is you're beginning to see a much harder turn in a much broader sense to the radical left. And so, again, with Cristina Fernandez, now the vice president of Argentina, returning there and turning Argentina much more to the left, the return of the MAS in Bolivia, the recent election of Pedro Caballero, Castillo in Peru, just in a number of different states, we see it going in a very worrisome direction. And of course, the consolidation of the left and others such as Venezuela and now Nicaragua, and the prospect that others are traditionally on the right leaning, such as Honduras, very likely now to go to the populist left with a likely visit, the victory of Xiomara Castro. And so it's really each story is a little bit different. All are rooted in frustrations with government performance, but the collective result, supercharged by COVID-19, is taking the region in a very worrisome direction.
Yes, I remember history about what happens after pandemics. This is European-based history, but it applies to South America. You get an economic boom momentarily. You get disorder, and you get life-changing risk-taking. That would describe generally, without blame, what we're observing. In other words, the professor is saying Chile is not an outlier. Chile's joining a parade. We're going to another parade member, Nicaragua, next, which just held an election endorsing the longtime president, Mr. Ortega. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.